Hello, this is Pastor Rob of Bethel Church in Tempers Plains, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast today. We have a very special guest with us today, and I believe you'll be blessed by this message. Isaiah tells us the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Please listen and receive this anointed message and allow the Holy Spirit to break any yoke or burden that may be hindering you today. God bless. Have a great day.
Folks, I tell you what, this has been a good day. I always love when we can take a band with us, and these boys come with us a couple times a month, and they're not going to be with us at all in April, but then back with us in May, some, and my kids come with us some, and still, though, about 75% of our meetings are Christine and I now, different season of life, but we're loving it. I want to take a minute, Christine, let's just go ahead and do this now. We would never want to deprive Bethel Church of this wonderful, is that it? That's F, right? Yeah. Now, don't forget that key, but listen, a few years ago, and I know these guys on the front row, they never get tired of hearing it either. I don't. We're going down the road. Christine's not the in-your-face. If you remember Pastor Rob, it was me and Luke were always the one kind of doing impersonations and having fun in church. But we're driving down through Kentucky a few years ago, and she cut out with this little impersonation, and I thought, man, we got to share that with the body of Christ just to have some fun. And she does it perfectly. And what's even greater is it's out of character for her to do something like this. But this is not spiritual at all, but it sure is fun. You got that key? Get over here closer. Oh, the song Glenn Miller plays.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days.
I knew you when you were me.
Girls were girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
Everybody.
G.R.O. LaSalle ran great. Those were the days. And Reedsville and Tupper's Plains and Chester and Coolville will never be the same. Amen. I want to tell you, folks, about a couple things that we have back on our table. I'm not one of these guys that take a half an hour for a commercial, but I do take a couple minutes. So you'll know. I've done a newsletter since 1975, and I've been privileged to write some articles in some magazines, a little editing there, but never done a book. And when I did one, I did it right. It's 443 pages. Somebody said, Blaine, you didn't write a book. You wrote an encyclopedia. But it's called A Year in the Word with Blaine. And just a wonderful tool for you. If you have a problem maybe reading the Bible or having time to do it or maybe the discipline of doing it every day, this would be a good book for you. It takes just a few minutes of every day to read it. It's a 365-day devotional, a Bible study guide, and a sermon starter. I've had several preachers call. I guess they didn't read the front of the book. It said sermon starter. Blaine, that number 102, can I preach that one? Brother, yes, it's a sermon starter. Get started and go with it, man. Any preacher that says everything he says, his original's lying anyway. Preach it, man. It's the Word of God. So it's only $17. And folks, it'll bless you. If you know a new convert that needs to get in the Word, just some catchy names for the chapters, 365 different devotions in here that'll bless your soul. A Year in the Word with Blaine. We have a collection of the parodies. We've done 23 of them on one CD. Everything from the Doobie Brothers to Lynyrd Skynyrd to Adele. I could have had it all. You know, my daughter said, and now I have it all. James Taylor, Garth Brooks, Willie Nelson. It's a great CD. Give it to your heathen relatives. Amen. They're only $5, not because they're faulty. It's the last 4 or 5 years. Most cars don't even have CD players. We're going through another transition period. We're still going to have CDs, but we don't want to look at a stockpile in our office for the next 20 years. So we're blessing and passing it on to you. We're still making a little bit on them. Buy a CD, give it to somebody. Buy as many as you want for $5. And we have another deal back there, our tributes, where we did other people's songs, 59 songs for $10 right there. Andre Crouch, Brother David Ingalls, the Hensons, the Hemp Hills, if you like Southern Gospel. And our new CD, we came up with a real original title, and these two guys are playing on it. It's called CD 2021. Wasn't that a good name for the record? CD 2021. That's the newest one, and it has Mexico on it, and maybe a song we'll end the service with today. Come on by and get something today. Get a book, get our CDs, grab a newsletter out there with our schedule. That goes up into April and May, and you'll be blessed. Amen. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, and we're going to share really one of my favorite kind of preaching. They call it expository preaching. I love verse by verse preaching. I sometimes do the other way, the topical. Matter of fact, I do seminars, 8 to 10 seminars a year. I'm in the middle of one right now in Dayton. I finished one last month in Kentucky. I call them a month of Wednesdays, since so many churches don't have Sunday nights anymore, and there's so many don't even do revivals anymore. About 20 years ago, God gave me this great idea to keep me busy in the middle of the week, and I do 8 to 10 month of Wednesdays. And that's where we hand out a syllabus and just get in the Word. But on Sunday mornings, it's more preaching. And but this, I want to share something with you, a thought that God gave me some time ago. Let's start with Isaiah 53. But before we read that, I carry something in my Bible that takes about a minute to read. And I just love this. It's funny. A minister decided that a visual demonstration would add emphasis to his Sunday sermon. Worms, 4 worms, were placed into 4 separate jars. The first worm was put into a container of alcohol. The second into a container of cigarette smoke. The third worm into a container of chocolate syrup. The fourth worm into a container of good clean soil. At the conclusion of the sermon, the minister reported the following results. The first worm in alcohol, dead. The second worm in cigarette smoke, dead. The third worm in chocolate syrup, dead. The fourth worm in good, clean soil, alive. So the minister asked the congregation, what can you learn from this demonstration? A little woman in the back quickly raised her hand and said, as long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms. I just think that's one of the funniest things I've heard. Well, I just love to share that with the body of Christ. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 53, I call this, if you want to put a name on it today, I call it the epistles, the letters of Paul in Isaiah. You might say, Brother Blaine, how could that be? He was about 700 years after the prophet Isaiah, before Jesus even came. Well, much is said in the Old Testament about what we receive and what we have and what happened in the New Testament. A little cliche I heard many years ago, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. We wouldn't have had the new without the old. But the writer of Hebrews said in 8:6 that we have a better covenant. Somebody say amen. A better covenant established on better promises. Amen. So in other words, I like to say it this way, kind of you get a little illustration. Let's say the middle of the room, there's the cross, okay? This is kind of perfect too because it's a little right of center. Okay, that wall is Genesis. That wall over there is Revelation. I would rather stand in the book of Romans and read Leviticus than to get over here in Leviticus and try to understand Romans. It's all about perspective. We're on the other side of Calvary now. Come on, amen. We have a better covenant established, and it'll make a lot more sense to you. You know, some people, just to get an amen, they'll say the dumbest things in church. I don't care, brother. I'm going to do whatever the Word of God says. I'm going to do every word of it. No, you're not. When's this last time you offered an animal sacrifice? I mean, come on. You understand covenants. We're in a different covenant now. Hallelujah. And the Gentiles, the bacon eaters, have been invited to the party. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. That ought to make you shout right there. What would have it been like 700 BC to be the prophet Isaiah just going with his prophecy and saying what God had him say to the house of Israel and the house of Judah and prophesying to the people of God? And all of a sudden, look at verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Here's this great verse, y'all know it. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by and with his stripes we are healed. Somebody say amen. Now see, what God wants you to see today is that he was many times would be reporting something of his day, of his era. He was talking to the people of God in that time, but then out of the blue, he would start saying, but he was wounded. It would be like Tucker or Hannity. Today in Ukraine, the Russians destroyed a residential area, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, chastised. I mean, right out of the blue, start saying something that seems unrelated. Well, God was prophesying Jesus coming into the world. Come on. Amen. Are you actually going to put up the scriptures if you want to go verse by verse, particularly when we get to 54, we'll go all the way through. I won't do all of them in 53, but look at verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, the problem with us. Now, why did you call this the letters of Paul? Because the things in 53 and 54 and 55 are so New Testament sounding. Even before the New Testament was written, Isaiah was catching a glimpse of what was coming. You know, many people think that if God heals you, it's because you beg him long enough. Well, he's a merciful God and he hears our cry, and he does a lot of things just for his mercy's sake, and he don't have to ask the devil for permission because he's a merciful God. But you know there's a grounds for you to approach God for healing. There's a grounds, you have grounds to come to him. Look at verse 4 again. Excuse me, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Jesus became what you were so you could become what he is. Jesus, it's the great substitution. He became this so you could become that. See, Jesus covered every part of our life. Verse 5, really, you could live on this one verse the rest of your life. He was wounded for your transgressions. That's when you do wrong against God's law. Every one of us need a Savior. Come on. You know, I keep the Ten Commandments. Well, I got some news for you. There's another 603. I know the core of it all is the Ten Commandments there in Exodus, but there's 613 Mosaic laws of some kind telling God's people back in those days what to do. And James said, this is gonna mess you up right here. James said in chapter 2, verse 10, if we keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, we're guilty of all of it. Now I thoroughly depressed you, haven't I? Well, see, in other words, we all need a Savior. You're not going to go to heaven because you score 51. You're not going to get to go to heaven just because your good points outweigh your bad. There's an old hymn of the church that said it so well years ago. My heart, it says, my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. Can I hear some noise on Sunday? Come on. I dare not trust the weakest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Yes, behavior is important. Holiness is important. Doing right and striving to do right is the right thing to do if you're truly a child of God. But our righteousness is not about our behavior. It's about the blood of Jesus and what he did for you 2,000 years ago. If you ever, I'm going to say something that will blow your mind. There's people that as far as behavior score 75 that won't make it, and others who score 25 will make it because they're leaning hard on the finished work of Jesus. Who all believes he fixed it for us a long time ago? And once again, that's not an excuse for you not to do right and live right. Amen. Matter of fact, any doctrine that gravitates you toward not living right is not a doctrine of God. Amen. Now, that's all I'll share out of chapter 53. I'm going to go now 54 verse by verse. My favorite kind of preaching, okay, if you want to put those verses up. Sing, O barren, thou that did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. You that did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Now listen, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. You know one thing about God that I like? He's always telling us to get better and bigger. He never tells you to retreat. You know, I think every church ought to grow. Eight of you, believe it. Let's try one more time. I said every church ought to grow. As long as there are people not serving God and going to hell, sinners, we have a job to do. Come on, amen. He said, think bigger. Now watch this. For thou shalt break forth the right hand, the left, verse 3, thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Gentile was mentioned there. That's interesting. Look at verse, now listen, this is God, well, It's a messianic. He's talking about Jesus and to Jesus. Look at verse 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. Listen. And shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. You know, there's something about youth. One thing that's good about youth is they have all this energy and they'll sometimes go and do without thinking. That's why they want 18 to 25 year olds in the Army and the Marines because they just say, go. Okay, sir, go on, you know. I mean, they'll climb that mountain, they'll go after that guy, they'll do whatever they got to do, you know, without, they have this thing called energy. But then on the other hand, if it's used the wrong way, I've always said every 18 to 25-year-old ought to be locked up for a while so they get their head screwed on straight, because most dumb mistakes that are made in life are in that age, that span. Bad decisions, the wrong crowd. It just takes 1 minute with the wrong crowd doing the wrong thing could ruin your life or at least scar your life forever. Come on now, I'm telling you the truth. Now, not that it can't happen after you're 25, but my point is this. There's things in your youth that might haunt you, even after you've been saved a while. Maybe you still remember things. Well, God says, come on, somebody shout with me this morning. He said, you will not remember the shame of your youth. Hallelujah. That sounds kind of New Testament to me. Look at verse 4. For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. Did you notice the word redeem? You know, there's a verse in Galatians chapter 3, I've always loved, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Come on. Be made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. You ain't shouting yet. Let's try it again. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. And through faith, we might receive the promise of the Spirit. See, God has so many things for us through his redemption. Look at verse 6. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. Isn't it great that God calls you when others refuse you? This is for somebody today. You might be feeling lonely. You might feel like nobody cares, nobody even likes you. I want to tell you something. If God had a billfold, he'd have a picture of you in it. If God had a refrigerator, he'd have a picture of you on it. God's not mad at you. He took his wrath out upon his son. Somebody say amen. Look at verses 7 and 8. I want to show you something that I think God showed me. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee. Here it is again, for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy. And you notice what he calls himself? Redeemer. The one who buys back. Now listen, I got to thinking about this. When was I ever forsaken by God? I was born on June 23rd, 1956. Of course, I wasn't aware of a whole lot for a while. But even in my life of being aware and you know, understanding the years, God has never forsaken me. And he tells these people, for a moment I forsook you. Now, let me tell you something that maybe you never thought of. At the cross of Calvary, it looked like a lonely man on a lonely hill that was dying a lonely death. But I call it, there's a chapter in my book called The Group Portrait. There was actually a group portrait there, Pastor. By the way, the guy back there on the third row, I like your Bengals shirt, amen. Well, at least they made it. Okay, that's all I can say. They're going to go far, I think. Anyway, it's been too long. Anyway, I'm sorry if any of you are Browns fans. Okay. But anyway, when has God ever forsaken me? Well, in the eyes of the Father, everybody say Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Everybody say Romans 6, 4. It says we're buried with him in baptism. Everybody say Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. It looked like a lonely man on a lonely tree dying a lonely death. But in the eyes of the Father, did anybody wear their shouting clothes on Sunday morning? Come on, you listen to me. In the eyes of the Father, you and I were crucified with him and we were buried with him and made to sit and raised up with him. Come on. You might be sitting in Reidsville, Ohio today, but you've been made to sit with him in heavenly places today. That's the group portrait. So when did God forsake you? Remember when Jesus was on the cross? My God, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had never known that. Just like you and I had never known communion with God, he had never known separation. I don't expound and go as deep and drama as some guys that preach on this, but I will say this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became what I was so I could become what he is. He had never known sin. I'm not saying he committed sin. He just bore our sin. He had never known sin, only righteousness. I'd never known righteousness, but only sin. But because he took my sin, now I can partake of his righteousness. Hallelujah. That's when God forsook you. How could that be? That was 2,000 years before I was even born. I know that. But in the eyes of the Father, he saw all of us that would receive his son Jesus as Savior, and he saw us crucified with him, buried with him, and raised up with him. Hallelujah. That's why I call this the letters of Paul in a book that was written 700 years before Paul. Look at verse 9. I love it. I love it. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I've sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. Somebody needs to hear this today. You won't even pray because you think God's mad at you. Get over it. God sent a redneck from South Lebanon, Ohio, to tell you something different today. Come on. Look at verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee.
Brother Bowman, God's mad at me.
Well, he might not be pleased with everything you do, but honey, you got to realize if God gets mad at you, you don't exist anymore. There's coming a day when the mockers, those who love iniquity and everything evil, I saw heaven open. Come on right there. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And him that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Jesus ain't coming the next time to put a crown of thorns on his head. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to set the record straight. But we're in a day of his grace today. And folks, I want to tell you something. God, you know, people, there's people in my town. I've invited them for 10 years, 20 years to come to meetings. And they're scared. They're scared of us because some nut dragged them up to the altar, made them pray or something, and embarrassed them. And, you know, unless the Spirit of God draws you, come on, get over that dumb stuff, you know, and condemnation and all this junk that some churches do. It's no wonder that some people never want to darken a church door again. I can't blame some of them. There's a boy in my town. I just bought a truck from him, my dad's old pickup. Called it Old Blue. He came out and picked it up the other day. I've asked this boy for 15 years to come to church, even to our event at my place every year, the party at the ranch. And he told me a story one time. He said, Blaine, when I was 12 years old, I walked in a little church down there on McKinley Street in South Lebanon, little Pentecostal church, and I had long hair. And the first thing the pastor said to me when I walked in the door, we don't have that hair in this church, buddy. He's never been back. Scarred for life. I wouldn't use a crowbar on him, but I'd like to talk to that preacher. I would like to talk to him. Shame on you. How can somebody live right if they're not saved? They don't have the tools. Telling a sinner, why does he do what he does? He's being natural. He's doing what's coming normal. But you become a new creature. Come on. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I mean, you can't change until you get the changer inside of you. Hallelujah. God's not mad. And they'll say dumb things. They'll say dumb things. They'll say things like, I can't go to church. If I walked into church, lightning would strike. Just thinks it's so funny, you know. No. If God was going to kill you, he'd kill you in the parking lot. Why would he mess up his church just to kill you? You think you're special or something? I'm being sarcastic. I'm just telling you, God took his wrath out on his son. Let me share a verse that it's not in my notes today. I didn't really have notes. I just told him I was going to go verse by verse. But listen, there's a verse I think this is very misquoted. In St. John 12, verses 32 to about 34, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. And people use that verse to promote worship. Let's lift him up, folks, because the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. Well, there's plenty of verses in the Bible about praise and worship. You don't need to be using that one because it has nothing to do with praise and worship. In the previous verse, who were you shouting clothes today? You should never come to a Pentecostal charismatic church without your shouting clothes on. I said, who wore your shouting clothes today? Listen, in the previous verse, Jesus said, the time is now for the prince of this world to be judged. And if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. And the next verse says, this spake he of the death he should die. And men is not there. Anytime you see an italicized word in your Bible, it wasn't there in the Greek or Hebrew. It was added by the translators. And I think this time they messed up. It really says, it doesn't say, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. It says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all to me. He's not talking about praise and worship. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all judgment to me. You're not shouting yet. Let's try this one more time. Jesus took his wrath out on his son so he wouldn't have to take it out on you. Come on, somebody. Jesus was like a magnet in a room full of thumbtacks. And the minute they hung him on the cross, all judgment came upon him. This spake he, signifying what death he should die. Give your Savior a hand clap. He took your place so you wouldn't have to bear it into eternity. What a friend we have in Jesus. Hallelujah. Get me carried away today. All right, it's 11:50. We're about done here anyway. Look, go down, if you will, to verse 15. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. You know, it's time that you settle in your heart that God's not your problem. He said, stuff will come against you, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Here's a verse that used to bother me. Then we'll do a couple verses out of 55. But look here at verses 16 and 17, especially 16. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I have created the waster to destroy, or that destroys. Then you all know the verse, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. There was this land above Israel called Assyria, and they were bad, 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 bad to the bone. Big country, big army, and they're breathing down upon this little tract of land called Israel. And God said to them, he said, hey, don't sweat it. I can imagine people, it would be like Ukraine. Matter of fact, that's a good verse right there to claim for the Ukrainian people in Jesus' name. That was led by the Lord. You pray that this week, amen? They're sitting down there thinking. They're making shields. They're making spears. They're making arrows. The smith that makes the army's utensils of weaponry. He said, don't sweat it. I created them people. They sucked my air. And then in that context, Steve, the next verse says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I just gave you a chance to shout and you missed the opportunity. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment, you'll condemn it. This is the heritage. And look how it ends. For your righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Come on, give Jesus a hand clap. See, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, but I thought all my life that the devil was just under God. Folks, he's like a BB compared to the earth. He's a created being. Come on. He's not number two. Jesus defeated him, spoiled principalities and powers, paraded him through the Roman cities, and made a mockery of him. He's been defeated for 2,000 years. A little more of the letters of Paul here in chapter 55, and I'm done. Go to verse 6. Share a little truth here. When I'm done here, you guys can come onto the stage. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. That implies that there can be a time when he will not be found. Think about it. Quit putting it off. Let the wicked forsake his way.
Way.
And the unrighteous man his thoughts.
Thoughts.
And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy. God will abundantly pardon. Verse 8, for my
thoughts
are not your thoughts, neither are your
ways
my ways. I've heard preachers preach that, oh, God's hard to understand, children. I tell you what, His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not ours. Kind of leave you as you walk out of church, well, we're all a bunch of imbeciles. We don't know anything, do we? But I'm going to show you something. Verse 10. He reiterates, For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You know, I love the King James. I got 20 others at home that I love the translations, just as a couple of them even better. But I preach out of King James. I've been preaching out for 45 years. Why change now? But verse 10 says, returneth not thither. Who says thither? I could go months and never say thither. Have any of you said thither this week? I guarantee you nobody in this church has said thither. He's saying it rains, like today, and it rains, and it returneth not thither. Now we know there's evaporation and all that, but I'm talking about, I've never seen it rain up. I've heard it say rain sideways. But in other words, once the rain comes down, it makes something happen good. Bread to the eater. Come on, amen. Now, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and prosper where I send it. You heard me emphasizing the words way and thoughts. Yes, God's. Now listen, it's going to take me about 30 to 45 seconds to preach this. And at the end of it, when I put my left hand up, that's where you start hooping and hollering, okay? I know God's thoughts are higher than mine. And definitely His ways are better than mine. You hear somebody talk about their wife or their husband, that's just her way, you know. Yeah, God's thoughts are higher than ours. But just like the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but it makes stuff grow and get green and blessing, so shall my word be. I'll send my word down. What is in His word? His thoughts and His ways. Hallelujah. He didn't leave us a bunch of idiots. He gave us His thoughts and His ways in His word that came down. And just like the rain don't go back up, His word ain't going back up. It's going to stay down here and make something good happen in your life. Come on up. As I read these last two verses, for ye shall go forth with joy. Hey, that's one thing we want accomplished in a Bowman meeting. I hope you're leaving here today with joy. And be led forth with peace. The mountains of the hills shall break forth into singing. Trees of the field shall clap their hands. I was reading this one day, Brother Barber, and that first word in verse 13 just popped off the page. Instead, let's all stand. Everybody stand up. That first word in verse 13 is instead. Instead. Some of you need an instead. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Instead of the sickness, let's receive His health today. Instead of the gloom and despair. Father, kids, listen. But the moment you kind of act like there's no problems. No. It's just how I cope. If I'm down in the mully grubs and down and depressed, I can't help you if you are. So I pray in the Holy Ghost and stay pumped up in the Word. Old John Osteen, the elder Osteen, used to say, I don't ever worry about what I'm going to preach. I just stay in the Word all the time. Always got something to say. How many of you, and you don't have to be specific, but maybe there's something in your life. Maybe you're tormented mentally. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your body. Maybe it's your pocketbook and your checkbook. You could use an instead. Put your hand up. Come on. Okay, keep it up there, man. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. That lady back there, that lady, that gentleman back there, all these people, Father, you see those hands. Father, we take your word at what it says, and we said you could give us an instead. We send the word to these people today, Lord. Listen, saints, I couldn't heal a bumblebee, but I know a man who can. Receive this right now. In the name of Jesus, be healed in your body right now. Instead of those breathing problems, instead of the crippling disease, instead of those migraine headaches, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I lay hands on people sometimes, but a prophetess 40 years ago told me, in your older years, you'll just speak the word and it'll happen. Do you believe that today? Not because it's Blaine Bowman, but because I'm his messenger today. Come on, put your hand up right now and receive this in the name of Jesus. Father, if there's holes in the bag, if we're bringing in money but it's going out quicker than we can bring it in, give us wisdom to know what to do. Give us wisdom in our finances, Lord. Meet every need here today. Lord, those children that are gone astray, put a hook in their jaw. Bring those prodigals home so we can have a party. Father, I believe that right now in the name of Jesus. Some of you are worried day and night about your kids. I bind that devil of stress and that devil of fear in the name of Jesus. And Father, we send the word of God to those kids today. May their hearts be turned homeward. And everybody said amen. Now before Brother Barber comes, and thank you, Pastor, I don't know a church. You guys know a church that's let us have 2 hours on Sunday morning. We'll drive 600 miles. We only drove 129 today, but we've driven 600 miles and they give you 45 minutes. I mean, I'm serious, but thank you for letting us do what we do. Amen. But listen, right now, and some of you might be watching. Do you have live stream? Okay. Maybe you're sitting there on your couch. You just had your eggs and sausage and you're watching my live stream. That's cool. We're glad you tuned in. But listen, every one of us need a Savior because every one of us have sinned. And if there's somebody in this house today that's never met Jesus as Savior, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer right now. I'm a preacher, a teacher, but I also evangelize. I want to pray for you right now. And I want all of us to pray, even if we're saved, I want you to pray this. And maybe somebody out there is watching this and will pray. Everybody say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He died for my sins. And I believe You raised Him from the dead. Lord, I repent. I do a 180. I turn from sin and turn to You, God. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Make me new today. Help me live for You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Who all praises the Lord today that He's a God in heaven that hears us? Come, Pastor.
Head up, okay. Thank you, Blaine. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so very much. Thank you for being here today, sharing with us. Good time for sure. Amen. Most important, the word of God went forth this morning. Hallelujah. Let's dismiss. In the name of Jesus Christ, we praise You, Lord God Almighty, for being such an awesome, mighty God. Thank You for this time we've had today. We ask Your continued blessings upon Blaine, Christine, on Mike and Steve, Lord, and wherever they go, whatever they do, Father God, that You will bless them, that they will truly glorify You in all that they do. Father, keep them, protect them as they travel. Thank You for being with this congregation. As we go forth from this place, Lord, help us to remember that it's all about Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.